This is a replay of the Tuesday night, November 14th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together tonight, and of course you can continue to vote on the world's worst hit records. Remember, it's a cumulative poll, so if someone else has mentioned it and you hate it, make sure you include it. You can vote up and until next Wednesday evening, and then that's the night before Thanksgiving. Then I tabulate them and we play back the top 10. Not all of them, don't worry. It'd be the worst thing I could do to you. What do you hate? Let me play it. No, we'll make the top 10 for this year, and while you're eating your turkey, I'll be playing them. And so that's the deal, but you got to get your votes in. Many people doing it by email, some doing it by text, which is really iffy. I mean, it's possible, maybe, but the likelihood of me actually hearing a phone message or seeing a text is not that high, though I try. And that said, the best thing to do is call 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. As is always the case, about a week out, there's like a 9-zillion-way tie. But that'll break, and we will have a top 10, I am convinced. So this weekend, if nothing else, I'll tabulate all the email and voicemail votes. And, of course, Carol's been keeping a close watch of what you have voted for on the air, because she truly is my keeper when it comes to this stuff. All right, so I was going to open with people behaving badly, and boy, do I have stories. But something even worse came across my mind in the last just few minutes here. And, you know, we talk a lot about AI. And, of course, as you know, regardless of what all the headlines will tell you, it's not artificial intelligence in the true sense yet. It's still a form of deductive reasoning. Thank God. Although the day will come when inductive thought will be in computer land, and then we'll all be going to hell in a handbasket. But before such time, we'll get all forms of computer-assisted, if you will, call it AI or not, devices, responses, and so forth encroaching into your life. All right, well, you know that. You know that if you're chatting online, chances are you're chatting with some form of a bot, and that may be an annoyance, but it's probably not going to ruin your day. Well, depending on how annoying it is, I guess. Well, let's back up for a moment before AI and talk about credit scores just a minute here. As you probably know, credit scores are not primarily how you pay your bills. That's part of it, and depending upon the model the lender wants to use, it may be a big or lesser part of it. But the real purpose of the credit score, and the reason they call it a FICO score, originally it was a Fair Isaac score, it was an insurance metric, and what they were trying to do was predict the likelihood that, you know, you were going to file a claim based on your lifestyle and behavior and all that. So it's a predictive tool, and being so, it's at best suspicious, to say the least. Various lenders have various ways that they calculate how they think you might be a default anytime soon. Like I say, only a portion of it is how well do you pay your bills. Some of it may be how much credit is available to you, how much of that credit have you used, how long have you had the credit. There's a number of metrics, and the individual lender can choose it. So when you hear there's a credit score, that's not a universal score. Every lender can pick their own. All right, so you got that, right? And you've known this for a while, and maybe you have been, as I have been, pretty frustrated by that because you don't like the idea that you can be 100% current on paying your bills, pay all in full and all that, and you still don't have a perfect credit score because the score the lender is using, oh, you don't have an auto loan, or you don't hold a mortgage, or what have you. It's predictive. Well, we've made peace or not with it. We expect that. But wait, there's more. Apparently, a number of entities, including banks, are using artificial intelligence. What for? Basically, to shut down accounts in good standing. But the reality is that they're looking at people and seeing their likelihood that they're going to have a negative balance, be in default. And there are a number of credit cards that are already doing it. In fact, there have been a lot of complaints lately with Synchrony. And Synchrony is used for a number of different cards, like PayPal Credit or the Gap or, all the mall retail cards out there are usually Synchrony. But what people are finding out in some cases is they pay their bills in full and all of a sudden your account's closed. And reason? Because they've developed an AI system that will tell them when you might suddenly become late. So, you can appeal the decision and you can file a complaint and you can try to take them to small claims court or something. But, obviously you're still going to pay whatever balance you've got on it. But they're not alone. There are some banks that have been closing accounts, and I'm not talking about credit cards in particular. And in some cases, it's a lifestyle score, which is the most frightening thing going. And you see a number of anecdotal cases, and I have to leave it there because, I haven't been to the court cases to see how it really comes up. But anecdotally, people are saying, hey, this bank, name big bank here, whatever one you want to choose, I think most of them have done it, but one in particular is, has closed my accounts because they don't like the business I'm in. Now, it's a legal business, mind you, or in one case, they don't like my political views. Again, we can probably question whether that's 100% accurate or not, but there have been more than a handful of people that are complaining vigorously that things they have not done and like paid late, and things that they are not involved in, like any type of illegal activity, still accounts are being shut down because someone somewhere or maybe an AI scheme has determined that they are on some level an undesirable. Yeah, 1984 is here and more. So anyway, that got me mad enough tonight. But I have a number of other things as well. But of course, I default to you. Now, well, we will get to people behaving badly. Do you rent out a place? Now, I'm not talking about being the renter. I'm talking about being the landlord. Yeah, well, you know all the trouble. Maybe you didn't know about this one coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio Alabama, and that's That Day When She Needed Me, and as a flip side for The Contours, 1964 on Gordy, and lead singer Joe Billingsley is still with us and turned 86 today. Yeah, born in 1937 in Hamtramck, moved to nearby Detroit when he was an infant, and he was a founding member and lead singer of The Contours. So you know we're going to have to play First a Look at the First, but I figured if you hadn't heard That Day When She Needed Me, it's a nice song. After Motown, he worked in the auto industry and then the Wayne County Sheriff's Department, and I think the Detroit Correctional Department before he retired, and at least through last year, he was still singing. So happy birthday, Joe Billingsley. That's a great story. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And James is in Oregon. So James, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Getting better. Yeah, I had a little whip today. I had dialysis yesterday, and they took a little bit of extra out, I guess. So I keep threatening them, but, you know, they're nice people. So.
Yeah, no, don't threaten them. I mean, they're in a position to do you much harm. Do not threaten
them.
Yeah,
well, I tell the one, you know, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can't see her, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. I'm into all these medical miracles I keep hearing about. Last Thursday, I think it was, I heard it on the radio. About 6 months ago, I think it was in New York University.
Uh-huh.
They did an eyeball transplant into a guy that had lost his eyeball to some kind of an industrial injury or something like that.
What happened, the guy was basically electrocuted, although he survived, and he wound up losing an arm, and he wound up losing part of his face, and the left eye was useless, but as sometimes happens, the pain was so great, he opted to have it removed. And because the pain was just horrible. And then he endured a lot of surgeries, did a face transplant, and, ultimately managed to survive that. So doctors thought, well, his face will look better if he can get a donor eye. Now, whether or not he will ever be able to see through it, that's a different question. No one knows that yet.
That's what they were saying, he can't see through it, but they're hoping down the road either he or they can do stuff for him or future transplants that they might be able to find ways to do it.
Yeah. Well, this is probably the perfect patient to try that with, I would think. And that's one of the reasons he agreed. He's already getting sensation. He's not able to move the eye or blink, but he says it feels good in his head, and he's getting sensation. And of course, they've been doing cornea transplants for some time, which is common, but an entire eye. And that means the blood supply and the optic nerve. And of course, the blood supply is what they're looking at initially. Optic nerve is dicier, but if they manage to pull that off, that'll be an amazing jump. Now, of course, for people who have real optic nerve problems, it may not resolve it for them. But depending upon why you aren't seeing out of that eye, it may be great.
Yeah. I just I want to throw that out there, you know, that because I was told a long time ago by an ophthalmologist. He says we may not be able to do it today, but tomorrow there can be a fix. So.
Well, you know, that's true. The reason it's in the news now is it's been a long enough period to prove the doctor's wrong, because originally the surgeons thought, you know, it's going to lose the fluid, it's going to look like a dried grape, it's not going to be good. Well, over a month or two later, eye is full of fluid, looked as good as the one he was born with, and no rejection as yet. So that's a real validation. Now, again, whether or not he ultimately will see out of it, and if he does have sight in his other eye, by the way, so that's the deal. The donor was an individual in their 30s when they died. And so it's fascinating.
Yeah. So my sick mind would work wonder if you wanted to change the color of your eyes, you could go and get a eyeball transplant.
I think that would be a bit much. I mean, what people do in the name of cosmetic surgery already is just astoundingly bad, but I can't imagine that. Of course, as you remember, a good old Dr. Mengele, some of the Nazi experiments, they tried to change eye color and blinded a lot of people.
I liked your trivia question yesterday on trouble, because I was surprised when you said rats, because I didn't know if it was two-legged rats or four-legged rats.
Right. Well, you know, like I say, I think that that is the answer because of major cities. You know, I can see that being the overwhelming reason in New York, but, you know, in Goodland, Kansas, maybe not as much.
No, well, most of my a lot of my troubles were customer abuse, you know.
Yeah.
And I had one in Fairborn, Ohio. It's strange I can remember these days, but that far back. But I was a repairman in Dayton, Ohio, and that's something Fairborn working. And I had a customer call in. They called in and said, can't hear on the phone. And I went in there. A man answered the door, and then the lady was there. And it looked like she had a turban on her head, but it was bandages. Mm-hmm. And I said, right here's the phone. It was a yellow wall trim line phone. And it had blood all over it. Oh. And I thought, well, oh, okay. I know what happened. Well, something happened bad. And but the man said, well, no, I'm her brother. It was her husband beat her in the head with this phone. but he's in jail. They had him in jail, so I had to change it out because it's get biohazard stuff with blood on it and stuff. So I just changed it out, put it in, we call it a vermin bag, you know.
Well, God it was a trim line. At least those were plastic. Imagine being hit over the head with a Western Electric. That happened to me as a kid. Know all about that one. I would think, as a phone tech, blood on the phone would definitely be a warning signal.
Yeah, well, you kind of wonder, you know, what when you go in, like, you know, when you see that and then you're not sure who the guy was, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but then when he said, I'm her brother, I'm just here to make sure she's okay.
Right. And you hope that's the truth. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Get in there and they start beating on you.
Yeah precisely.
I just, you could write a, I guess people maybe have, I say, write a book on what repairmen have.
Well, they have. I got that one book. Yeah. I thought it was you who recommended it. Was absolutely tales of
Kim Fahey.
Read it all. It was hilarious. Not to him at the time in all cases, but it was hilarious to me after the fact. Yeah, good stuff.
You know, if you knew him, you'd be laughing all the time.
I
worked with that guy for a while, and he's something, you know, he was a prankster, you know, that guy. But
all right.
But, so anyway, I'll let you go. And
thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
So we'll get to Eduardo. You know, we talked earlier in the year about the mega fire on I-95, under I-95 in Philadelphia. Well, have you heard what's going on in Los Angeles? Word is it was intentionally set, too. All this and more coming up, but right now we'll find out what's going on in the world at large at WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
I don't care.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. More Contours, 1965 on Gordy. Words to live by. I don't care if she's covered in a rash, long as you got that cash. All right, then. Yeah, boy. 888-876-5593 would be 8888, Raleigh. And that will take us to Eduardo in Tampa. What's happening tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, Raleigh, good evening. Yeah, so this fire happened on Interstate 10 over there in L.A.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. They're saying it's arson.
It probably is. It's beneath I-10, yeah, and it's a very industrialized area. It's sort of slightly southeast of downtown, and commercial traffic would use it heavily as far as day-to-day consumers. Well, they say something like 300,000 cars, but I would still say most of them are probably commercial traffic. But yeah.
Yeah.
Malicious
intent.
Well, they
say some of the columns are damaged. I think like 10 of them.
Right.
They don't think it's going to take that long, but we'll see.
Well, they keep updating that because, of course, when that first happened, it was like Sunday morning after midnight, and they believe it's arson. And like I said, it's very industrial. But there also was kind of like a homeless enclave there, too. So it's a wonder that
right.
Nobody was killed and nobody was, which is good news. But there were 100 columns that sustained some level of damage. So it's really only a mile stretch. It's Alameda Street to Santa Fe Avenue. But the problem is that, you know, not a great mile if you're trying to get around it and, you know, get where you're going downtown. So they analyzed the samples, and the latest today that I heard was that they said, firstly, officially, it is arson. That's the official cause. But more to the point, they believe that that the structure can be repaired rather than knocked down and rebuilt. Where that'll be, I think we're going to get more information in the coming days. But I believe Governor Newsom, the last I saw his smiling face on TV, had said he anticipated 3 to 5 weeks. So we'll see. He's a miracle worker, I guess.
Well, yeah. Speaking of miracles, look how fast they clean out because they had a Chinese leader in San Francisco. So they cleared out the homeless encampments.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do they do with the people?
I always wondered about that. Where are they?
Well, I'd love to know because I haven't seen that.
Are they
many
in Hawaii,
people.
Maybe?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they put them on a boat. I don't think so. But I do wonder, where are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they said they're going to be running express buses for those people, so.
From where to where?
That or the metro.
There's a metro over there. Yeah, I just wonder where they put them.
Yeah.
I should look that up. But I haven't seen anything so far on it other than, you know, they've cleaned this up. And I'm like, yeah, these are people. Where are they?
Yeah, you know, I always wonder, like, whenever they have these things, like, do they overdo it on the safety where you could just, like, close a portion of it and still get back on the 10 down the road? What do you think about that?
Oh, on I-10?
Any of these expressways
like
that
what,
happened in the past? Or
yeah. Well, we have a prime example of what happened in Philadelphia, and that was in June.
Mm-hmm.
And just last week, they allowed traffic from a temporary roadway onto the outer travel lanes of the permanent bridge that is new. So they're on that now. And I would say by the end of the year at Cotman, that will be an open road. But, you know, at this point, it was easy to choose Santa Fe and Alameda because you had exit points at both of them. I guarantee you they're not letting anybody on that road if they think it's going to collapse. But I would.
Yeah, I mean, see what happened in Minnesota some years ago, and I even saw one in Italy where that happened.
The classic one was in your good old Tampa Bay when the whole bridge came down.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
that was when I was still in Chicago. Yeah.
Right, right.
I remember now.
Yeah, that was a happy how do you do this morning. Yeah, exactly. That was, I don't think anything was worse than that. And, you know, that was just a barge hitting supports in the bay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of our.
Well, they had the earthquake too in, I guess, the 94 bridge, the earthquake
in
the 90s.
Well, yeah. As far as Southern California, that 71 Sylmar quake is the worst thing that happened to interstates, because there was a neighborhood, kind of an exurb at the time, that they had developed Simi Valley, and they had just started to develop it with homes, and the 71 earthquake destroyed the 118. Just gone.
Okay.
Well, it took them 11 years to fix it. And so,
oh my goodness.
Yes. So in 11 years, I'll tell you what, the zoning was questionable because you had like tract homes next to trailers and nobody, you know, it's fine now. It's actually looking pretty upscale, but I'll tell you what, it was probably the biggest boon to Santa Clarita that ever could have been, because you couldn't get to Simi Valley. So, and I don't know why it took them 11 years. So,
okay.
And I was there for all 11. I still don't know why.
So, okay. Yeah. Hey, by the way, last week when we were talking, I guess there were some technical problems, but I thought I was still on the line, but we got disconnected by accident.
Oh.
Just FYI.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, so how is everything? How is job search 2023?
It's still going. I mean, I still send emails to the that contact over there at the main hospital, but, you know, I'm thinking maybe January there'll be something, but...
I'm just stunned.
I'm so confident.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. You should be, but I'm just stunned, and you're bilingual, too. I mean, I would think you're everything anybody would want. It's amazing.
Well, I'm kind of zeroing on the hospital and not really going into anything else, but the hospital is the main interest for me, so, you know, I have faith.
Well, I would think so, but, you know, you're hearing about hospitals saying they can't get workers, really starting me to wonder.
Yeah. Like, remember the one I told you about where, like, overnight? I mean, they for some reason, they take quite a bit of time for them to get back to you. Because I don't think they're lining up to go and work overnight.
See, I don't see it either. I mean, there's an interesting story here, because we hear all the time about how, you know, they can't find employees. You know, that's a headline virtually every day. And so here you are, perfectly qualified and bilingual, and you're not getting snapped up in a picosecond, which you should be. So I wonder what the story really is.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was hearing a story in Chicago where they're talking about paid leave. I don't know why, because people can't even last a week in a job, and they're talking about paid leave.
Wow. Now, I mean, it's not like you're a convicted felon, right?
So, nope.
Just checking, just in case. Well,
no.
Short of that, or something in your past that would cause everybody to move over, I can't imagine why you're not snapped up. And like I say, not only is that a shame for you, but that's a story, because why should we believe that they can't find workers? Because clearly they're not hiring you.
Yeah, and then sometimes I go on the site and... The position is already filled, but it's still left open.
Oh,
but I don't know, for some reason.
Well,
it's very, I don't know, technological.
Well, no, you know, a lot of that also is just horrible, where they do it for show, in terms of they have to show that they've done the outreach, and they have to, you know, fill in all the EEOC boxes and all these things. You know, it's human resources at its finest. Most of those jobs, especially the plum ones, are probably gone before they even put the listing out.
Yeah,
that's kind of always been the way. But I mean, we're not talking. It's not like you're applying to be CEO of something. You're applying for the kind of jobs they claim they can't get workers to fill. And here you are, and they're not hiring you. So I want to know what is going on here.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I do, I still get a chance to do is the plasma twice a week. So that's still going well for me.
Oh, yeah, but that's not a job.
No, but it's nice to do that, you know.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's fine. And there's all sorts of creative things you can do to, you know, keep bread on the table, but that's not the point here. Just on the bigger picture, if it's so hard to find employees, then why the hell aren't they hiring them?
Yeah.
I want to know. So keep us posted.
Yeah, definitely, Riley.
All right.
Thank you very much,
on
to the next call.
Good deal. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, and we'll get to Tennessee Karen, who's got some votes on the world's worst hit records. But if you listen to this show, what do I know about you? You're a radio lover. Yeah. And so you know about Bob Crane, or at least you should. I think he should be knighted. Bob Crane years ago was dissatisfied with the state of current radio reception, like many of us were. But the difference is he put his money where his mouth was and said, I can develop a radio with great reception. Well, make that plural, radios. Every one of them in the Sea Crane line has terrific AM and FM reception, but most of them have a number of other features that are just inviting. The CCEP Pro is a terrific radio. I've got one in the kitchen and one in the bathroom, actually. It's a classic radio from the past, and what I like about it is, yeah, I like that slide rule dial tuning, you know, the needle and dial tuning, where you can just kind of fine-tune in, and I realize with digital, nobody's broadcasting off-frequency, but still, I kind of like it. And so you can dial it in. Now, it doesn't have a lot, which is what I like. It's got one button for power and one button for a bright light display, but it doesn't have a clock, it doesn't have an alarm. It's a radio from yesteryear. But, like radios from yesteryear, it is great on picking up, especially AM. They've got that built-in twin-coil ferrite antenna, which makes AM listening sound surprisingly similar to FM, but more to the point, you'll hear more on this radio than probably any other AM radio you've got currently, unless you've got something left over from the 50s or something, yeah, but assuming anything on the market in the last couple decades. There's a tone switch and bass and treble control, but that's about the extent of fine-tuning, but you can pretty much get whatever you want. It also has a line-in jack, so you can connect your smartphone for audiobooks or podcasts or voice clarity, really nice on this speaker. So you can go to ccradio.com anytime, read all about it. ccradio.com. It's the EP Pro. But if you can't go online, and particularly if you're looking for old tech like me, the slide rule dial tuning, give them a call. Use the phone. How novel. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They're there 24 hours a day, and they've got the greatest customer service ever. But if you can go online, you'll see it all. CCRadio.com. And if you need it tomorrow, I can probably get it on Amazon and all that. But the real deal is to see the Sea Crane website. You'll find something you just gotta have. Satisfaction guarantee is extended through February, so you will like it. And if not, they'll take it back. So CCRadio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Leon Russell, and sadly, yesterday, November 13th, was his death anniversary. Hard to believe. 2016, so yeah, 7 years ago yesterday, and Delta Lady was a request that came from Michelle in Geneva, and a fine one it is. 1970, and he wrote it on A&M, which had been releasing records for a little bit of time by that time. I think the first one was actually a remake of Misty. I could play that for you, but I'll spare you. But then, of course, within a couple of years, he hit with Tightrope. But long before any of that, he was great behind the scenes, to say the least. Like I've mentioned, worked with Snuff Garrett and others. So, 888-876-5593. Tennessee Karen is checking us out and has some votes for the world's worst hit record. So you're on.
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, well, I have one song to nominate.
Just one?
Once you, well, and two votes for previously nominated.
Yes.
Once you understand, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I have some questions about this song. Was it heavily promoted?
No, it wasn't. It was only a big hit in Seattle.
Okay, well, it made it to 23.
Yeah, I know.
Charts,
I know. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Can you play some of it for your audience? Because I think they need to hear a little bit.
It is astoundingly bad.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, it was on Lori.
In the spirit of our
It was on Lori in 1971. And is interesting because it was Bobby Susser was I think that's who sadly produced it.
I found it when I was flipping through Joel Whitburn's 8th edition of the Billboard Book of Top 40 Hits, and it's a studio group assembled by producers Lou Salmon and Bobby Susser.
Yeah, Bobby.
But what got me was when it said featuring dialogue between a teenager and
All right. Hang on.
I need to check that out.
Hang on. Don't go away. Yes, you didn't need to check it out. But stay right where you are. Tell you a little more about Bobby Susser and all that coming up next hour right here. And yes, Think coming up on WGN Radio.
Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little easier.
I'll be expecting you to get a haircut by Friday.
Forget it, Dad. It won't change anything.
Forget nothing. You'll do as I say as long as you're living in my house.
He knows I'm not feeling well, and yet he doesn't take one second out to help his mother. His only concern is for himself.
Come on, Bob, what do you want from me?
Don't argue with your mother. Just shut up and listen.
But, Mom, all my friends will be there. I said, no, you can't go. But why? I don't want you in that neighborhood. Why? What's wrong with that?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You know, that's even worse than I remember.
Yeah.
I said it was a big hit in Seattle, and I know Pat O'Day played it, but there was a guy in Olympia. There's a line in it where a cop says, he died of a drug overdose, and the jock would lower the pot on that and always come up with something else, like, he died from a slider at White Castle or whatever, and that just made it for me. But that record was actually big on Wixie in Cleveland and KQV in Pittsburgh, and Tennessee Karen remembered it and hates it. So, there you go, Karen.
Yeah, I can happily say I didn't remember it. I discovered it recently, unfortunately. That version you just played didn't sound like the one I heard on YouTube. It didn't sound like the original.
It doesn't sound like the original me either, and I pulled it from a computer. It sounded like the computer-generated one, but I'll have to.
Yeah.
I will have to. And I remember the original very well, and I will
It's so sad.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to. But the fact that they redid it is frightening, isn't it? But the guy who did that was two guys actually. It was Lou Stallman and Bobby Susser, and Susser later went on and wrote Kitty Records, believe it or not. Semi serious Kitty Records. But before that, he was.
Kitty Records. You mean records for children?
Yes, I do. I mean, the kinds that got awards from universities, not like kiddie porn or anything.
Oh.
No, I mean serious stuff.
Right.
things like the Teachers College of Columbia University gives them the Distinguished Alumni Award, that kind of stuff. He sold over, I'd say, 5 million kiddie albums, children's albums. But and so that's what he was doing. But before that, he was with Tico and the Triumphs. And of course, that was Paul Simon before he admitted he was Paul Simon, when he was using the name Jerry Landis, like he did with the
Never knew that.
Oh, you didn't know about the Lone Teen Ranger? Oh, my God. As Jerry Landis, Paul Simon put together Tico and the Triumphs. And of course, with that name, had to put out a dreaded song. Called Motorcycle.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's that is Paul Simon. Like I say, it was a kind of a cover, if you will, of his Lone Teen Ranger. And I can't believe you missed Lone Teen Ranger. Oh yeah, you got to hear. You'll hear the same sound effects here. Here's Jerry Landis, aka Paul Simon, doing the Lone Teen Ranger.
I'll soar away.
There goes the Lone Teen Ranger. Oh, he rides around on a big white horse. He's as cool as he can be. And my baby fell in love with him when she saw him on TV. And since that day, I'm sorry to say, she hasn't had time for me. 'Cause he goes bang, bang. He's the Lone Teen Ranger.
Hard to believe he did have a career after that, but he did.
I'm speechless, actually, after that.
Yeah, and the other co-writer to Think, and I will find the original here somewhere, but I'm not sure when, but I will. The co-writer of that was Lou Stallman, who wrote a lot of things, including It's Gonna Take a Miracle. He was the co-writer of that with Teddy Randazzo. So did okay. a lot of neat stuff.
Well, they left All the Way to the Bank, I'm sure.
Well, they did. And like I say, at the end where the policeman calls the father with the news that his kid dead from an overdose.
Oh.
That's where this guy, I think it was in Olympia, used to always dead from a slider at White Castle or whatever. It was always...
And that would be extra funny because the father on the song is sobbing and sobbing for several seconds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite an ending.
Yeah, I realized that was the re-release. Now, by the way, you know, one of the reasons this record was a hit, and it did make it to number 23, I'm sorry to say, but one of the reasons it always happens when this occurs, it was banned in several areas. So they wouldn't play it on the radio. And I thought that was, kind of a tribute to bad taste, but apparently they were upset with the commentary on culture change. So it is absolutely a hit, and I can't believe I don't have the original 45 on this computer, but yes, I can. I will find it.
Yes, yeah, and I urge everyone listening to pull it up and listen to it.
Yeah.
And I also have votes.
Oh, but of course, yeah. Well, that qualifies for sure. So, okay.
Song Blue.
Oh yes, yes. All right, you're seconding that.
Yeah.
Good choice.
And Send in the Clowns.
Okay. Oh yes, good choice.
Yeah, yeah. And then I've got a song request for Scotty. If you could play Speedo by the Cadillacs.
Oh yeah, I will.
Yeah. Thank you.
You betcha. All right, All good choices, and I think I have the, unfortunately, original 45 here, so I'll maybe sample it myself first to make sure, and yes, we won't let the evening go without the original rendition. All right, maybe just the end of it. All right.
I'll be able to sleep tonight.
All right, thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So, what do we have with Mark and Aurora going to vote for us? What do you think, Mark?
Well, first I want to mention that Once You Understand by Think was played on the former WKBW in the beginning of 1972.
Yeah.
And KB Radio even became a talk station temporarily as a few parents called in to say what they thought of the song. And I actually bought the record, and I played it for my sister, and she said, oh, I don't want to hear that. It's too close to home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, now, I would have said,
yeah,
I don't want to hear it. It's awful. It wouldn't have occurred to me to say, I don't want to hear it because it's too close to home.
Well, I'm afraid it was. That does depict our family in a lot of ways. The group was called Think.
Yeah, right.
And if you punch up the YouTube version of it, it actually shows a 45 record spinning.
Well, there's a lot of YouTube versions of it. I've got the original Lori 45, just not in this studio. I'm horrified to admit I have the original Lori 45, but I do.
But I have four male chauvinist pig songs to vote for.
Oh, yeah?
There's a fifth one that I'm not going to vote for because it may sound like it's male chauvinist pig, but it really isn't. And it's also by the same author as one of the male chauvinist pig songs. The first one is Troglodyte by the Jimmy Castor Bunch.
Oh, but you have to. Her name was Bertha Butt. She was one of the Butt sisters. How can you not like Troglodyte?
Well, that was that, and that brings us to my second one, the Bertha Butt Boogie.
Yeah, right. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my third one is by a man who was a teen idol in his day. Hey, little woman, please make up your mind. You've got to come into my world and leave your world behind. Hate that song. Ugh.
Was that Bobby Sherman?
That was Bobby Sherman.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's nothing to like about that. Okay.
And then a song with accompanying singer Odious Bloats.
Oh, yeah. Having my baby.
One of the worst. I am anti-abortion, but that song is so hokey, and I'd feel a lot better if he would say, and you're having our baby.
No, I would have felt a lot better if he didn't record it.
Well, that's true. But the fifth song is also by Paul Anka, and I kind of endorse it because there's one lyric that might be troublesome. You know, she never asked for much, and I never would refuse her. Always treat her with respect. I never would abuse her. You know, She's a Lady by Tom Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's by Paul Anka, too. But
not as a hit. Tom Jones was the hit. So, yes.
Yes.
We have to do hits.
Yes, but the other four songs are definitely in the male chauvinist pig category. Can't stand them.
Jimmy Castor Bunch. Well, I still think her name was Bertha. Bertha Butt, one of the Butt sisters, is hilarious.
Well, yeah, I realize it's a tongue-in-cheek song.
Yeah.
But it's
gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. I think it's hilarious.
Gotta find a woman.
Yeah.
Gotta find a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta find a woman.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
But the Bobby Sherman.
Well, you know,
so
Bobby Sherman later became a paramedic, probably saving people who heard Little Woman. So that's you know, for all those years, there was a payback. So yeah, I think that would do it.
And did you know, maybe you knew this, Neil Diamond went into music because he found out he couldn't be a doctor. Because a man collapsed in his arms on a street and he gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He was in pre-med school and he decided he couldn't be a doctor because he would get too emotionally involved with his patients. But he was quoted on Casey Kasem's program as saying, boy, if I only had the right opportunity, I could be right up there with Brahms and Robert Frost. And he mentioned one other poet, but Neil Diamond was a very interesting blend of sensitivity and egotism.
Thank God he wasn't a doctor, because if he did to medicine what he did to music, there'd be more dead people than we could count.
there's a Chicago announcer named Connie Saracen who also does painting. She does murals, and she's done a mural in a Wisconsin hospital. And she said that she was in Neil Diamond's hotel room interviewing him, which wasn't advisable, but... Mm. When the interview was done, she said that he raised his arm up like he was saying, come hither. And she said that she gathered her stuff up quick like a bunny and got out.
Yeah, right, exactly. Wave at a distance. See you later. Bye. But
I thought he has got to have an immense ego to try to pull a stunt like that.
Oh, I'm sure it's not unusual given his background, but nonetheless, yeah.
No.
I had a good friend who was his band leader for years, was his drummer actually on the road.
Oh.
So I had lots of Neil Diamond stories.
And what did he say?
None of which I'll share. But Dennis St. John was his name. I mentioned him a few times because when he was back in Atlanta, he had a great group, Saint John and the Cardinals. And they couldn't afford clothes. This is like the mid-60s to be on stage. So he got this great idea that he was going to rent choir uniforms since it was St. John and the Cardinals. Oh. And so the only thing was after a few weeks, the guy at the choir rental place, because, you know, they'd be on stage doing this rock and roll and they'd be all sweating and dirty and all that. And, you know, they'd be drinking and you name it. Guys, what kind of church are you boys in? So,
is Neil Diamond a little bit like Diana Ross? Nobody comes to his defense when he gets put down?
I would hope so. So
okay.
Yeah, it's a little
well, if I think of any more male chauvinist pig songs, I'll certainly call them in.
Yeah, by all means, if you hate them, you know, because it's okay to have a guilty pleasure, too. You know, some of them you might like.
Well, actually, this isn't male chauvinist pig, but another one that I really don't care for is Mary McGregor, Torn Between Two Lovers.
Oh, God, yes, yes. Oh, man.
Okay,
yeah,
good night.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Thanks. I remember the first time I introed that record. That must have been 1977. Yeah, and I'm on the state MOR station. I'm like, Mary McGregor, Torn Between Two Pieces. And I don't even realize what I've said. So, and actually, it was probably a truth anyway. But we'll get to Andrew in Chicago, who's going to vote, and Fran in Austin with some more votes. And your calls, too, coming up on WGN Radio. And exactly why has nothing happened? Yeah, well, sometimes I think the computer edits out my own music taste, which would be all right. I just recorded this too, and that was Wilbert Harrison. Let's Stick Together, because Brian from Joliet had called last night and he missed it when we played it the first time. So I thought, well, I'll just grab it here and put it on the computer, and nothing happened. Well, I'll find out later why. In the meantime, that's right, you'll miss it, and that's okay too. I will talk to Andrew in Chicago. What's happening, Andrew?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I have a bad headache and a bad backache.
Oh, no. So, sorry to hear that.
There you go. Off speaker. I remember. Mm. So, at any rate, for the song, first of all, what did it hit? It was that awful song of ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ooh,
oh, oh, The Witch Doctor was a huge hit.
How? That's amazing.
It was that was David Seville, Ross Bagdasarian. Well, of course, Ross was a very, very clever guy, and he's the guy who, of course, came up with the Chipmunks, which today doesn't seem like a big deal. But I'll tell you, back in the days of two-track recording, when you're just putting a scotch tape on the capstans to change the speed and things like that, it was a pretty inventive thing that he did. He was all the Chipmunks, actually, and. Yeah, as David Seville, he recorded Witch Doctor, and it was a huge hit on Liberty.
Yeah, oh, don't get me wrong. I love the song, but it's just, but, well, today, you know, it would, I can't imagine being a hit today.
Mm. All right.
But second of all, because it's just so hokey, but I think it's fun. But yeah, I'll put that one in. Second of all, what was that song you were mentioning to that person about how it became a hit probably because it was banned in certain areas?
Think. Yeah, I think this is the 45 version. We'll find out together here in a minute. Wait a minute.
So Think, and who did it?
Think is the group. Once You Understand is the title. But hang on a minute. I'm going to check out the news, and then we'll come right back to Once You Understand. Don't go away on WGN Radio.
Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little easier.
I'll be expecting you to get a haircut understand. By Friday.
Forget it, Dad. That Things won't change anything.
Easier. Forget nothing. You'll once do as you I understand. Say as long as you're living in my house.
Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get
he
a
knows
little
I'm not
easier.
Feeling well, and yet he doesn't once take one understand. Second out to help his mother. His only concern is for Things himself.
Come on, Ma, what do you want from once me?
Don't understand. Argue with your mother. Just shut up and
Things
listen.
Get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little
I said no, can't go.
But why?
I don't want you in that neighborhood.
Why? What's wrong with that neighborhood?
I don't like the kind of people living there.
What's wrong with them?
Never mind. Someday you'll thank me.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is. It was a hit, so it qualifies if you want to vote on it for one of the world's worst hit records. It has never actually made our top 10 before, but it has in fact, bubbled under, to say the least. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of about that ending. Yeah, that's where that guy in Olympia, Washington used to use his own closing. But, yeah, it was, let's see.
You better come down to the station house. Your son is dead.
Dead? How?
He died of an overdose.
Oh.
Right. So, of course, you take that out and died of a slider at White Castle. All right, so back to Andrew. And, yeah, that was Think. And that was Bobby Sussman and Lou Stallman.
That ending is terrible.
Of course it's terrible. That's exactly. That's why you kind of have to help it.
Yeah, man. Well, okay. If Run, Joey, Run was a hit, I'll put that in.
Oh, of course it was. It was a huge hit. Sold millions.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, David Geddes, of course.
Now that, God, that song.
Well, usually that and Blind Man in the Bleachers. Which, of course, the real title of that is Last Game of the Season, but that usually is up there, too.
Man. Anyway, Run, Joey, Run is a terrible song. Me and my mom would listen to it, and we would just laugh our ass off because of how hokey and forced it is. And I don't know. Maybe I'm a terrible person for thinking the subject. Well, no, the subject matter isn't funny. The songs are so bad.
Well, David Geddes laughed all the way to the bank. So, see, that's the beautiful thing of the world's worst hit records is they were hits, meaning everybody who hates it, for every one of us, there's somebody who not only loved it, they plunked down a dollar to buy it.
Yeah, anyway, so let's see. Well, I was going to say to you regarding soaps, damn it!
Has your mind just up and left you again? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. However, I'd like to comment on the thing you were mentioning in the beginning about the AI stuff.
Oh, right. Deciding whether you are worthy of having a bank account. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ, and I love what you said about how, you know, right now it's just deductive reasoning. And I love that you said that as soon as it goes to an inductive reasoning, we'll be going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, we will, absolutely, but we're nowhere near that, thank God. I know they want to make it seem like AI is that, but it is not. It is just refined deductive logic.
I mean, do you really believe that it could go into inductive reasoning?
I think it could, but I don't think... But, you know, remember, when you think about it, the advent of digital, which really started with the Industrial Revolution, the lead-up to that is the biggest change we've had in mankind since the wheel. And so, sure, I think we will jump some more hoops. The question is, and it's actually active right now because storage is so cheap, we can keep a dossier on everybody easily. The question is, has our technical ability surpassed our wisdom? Because there are things we can do that we probably shouldn't be doing. And, you know, AI programs to predict your behavior might be one of them.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend who has been writing in television since the early 70s for daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, her son works in AI and the writing. And he put a prompt in for a soap she worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And a prompt is seen. And she told me that she freaked out because because it was a producible scene and knew the history of some of the characters and it talked like the characters. And so it was like, and she's absolutely terrified, you know, about what AI can do and the fact that, you know,
the fact that she, like, you know, it's going to replace reality TV show writers, at least.
Well, you know, that's why there was a strike that was this long. I was all on the side of the strikers on this, because clearly they're acutely aware of what AI could do to them in the future. And you don't need inductive reasoning to do it. We're there now. We absolutely, as far as that particular skill, you clearly could use it for that. But the unions, you know, stood up for their members. And it looks like it won't be as easy to pull off as your friend might think.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you've got to be compensated, and that's one of the things. They're allowing for AI, providing that if it's being used to clone an individual, which is a lot of people's fear, that the individual will have to, of course, give approval and have financial participation. And as far as writers, the Writers Guild worked on that in terms of who could not be replaced by AI. So they're acutely aware of it.
Yeah, but it's definitely a Pandora's box.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, forget going online and chatting, because you're chatting with a bot, you know, and unless you want your blood pressure to go north of 200 over, you know, 150, do not chat with these bots.
And which bot specifically?
Any of them. You know, okay, you go to something like one of the MVNO phone companies, I don't care which one, and they don't have customer service, but they'll chat with you.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, believe me, you're
hitting the zero button.
Right, you're pretty far down the road before you get a real person, because when you're asking for an agent, don't think you're getting one right away. You're not. So,
which I hate, because I genuinely hate the way things are going right now in the world.
Well, yeah, because and you can see that, and that's one of the deals. I mean, it's interesting that when CDs first came out, and this relates to your comment, believe me or not, the deal with CDs is they were incapable of reproducing warmth. And so when it came for putting out, you know, oldies from the 50s or whatever on CDs, they just sounded abysmal because they couldn't reproduce the warmth. They do a better job now, but still, you're talking about a relatively cold technology that people who have grown up with it like it. You know, you can look at a family out at dinner and they've got four kids. Those four kids aren't talking to each other. Their nose are in their phone. They're texting their whatever. They also get free phone calls. Why? Because they're not making phone calls. They're texting. They love it. But for somebody who has embraced and really gotten over on human interaction, less and less does that occur. And it makes it very difficult for people who are used to that. I'm just going to directly talk to someone eye to eye. Well, maybe not anymore.
Right. Well, not only that, you know, well, that's the thing about, like us at, you know, radio that I cherish from 1951, and I will stream things using Bluetooth to it, because one of the audio ports that was originally for television, you know, there's a, well, you can figure out what I'm saying here, and just listening to, even as modern shows, you, through AM or in all these music, just through a tube amp, it's a totally different sensation. I think it's there is a difference.
It's absolutely different. And that's where it comes down to trying to look for the advantage of it, not trying to make it do what its disadvantages can easily prove. So, of course. But these are trying times. And they will be trying times probably for the next 100 years or more, because you'll see society evolve in ways. As I say, the only change that was as significant was the discovery of the wheel, the invention of the wheel.
So, and you're saying that AI is the next wheel.
Well, I'm not saying it's the next thing, but I say ultimately, you're asking, will they ultimately get there? Yes, there's a lot more they'll do with deductive reasoning before anybody hits on inductive reasoning.
Why were you saying that the digital age started with the Industrial Revolution? Were you thinking of the analytical machine?
No. What I was thinking about is prior to the advent of the Industrial Revolution in around 1750 or so, mankind had not changed. They were still riding the horses. They were still carting the wheelbarrows and on. Society really hadn't changed since the advent of the wheel. And the ramp up from about, 1720s or so to today has very much been industrialized. And we've seen one thing after another, be it the advent of electricity or transportation or on and on and on. These were things that society, if you go back to the year, 1220 or whatever, you're not going to see any of this. And see, for literally eons, decades and decades, centuries and centuries, there was no change. And if you look at prior to the advent of the wheel, cavemen, birth of butt, as we were saying, they were on 2 feet, or, arguably on all fours. But the bottom line is the wheel gave them advantages that literally changed society as they knew it. It was jaw-dropping. The only thing that could be argued was that fire also played that kind of a role, but I go with fire being divine intervention. But as far as discoveries and developments, the wheel was a big one. Well, the ramp up to digital is the next big one. We haven't had anything in between. It was not very different being an individual on this planet in the year 1000 than in the year 1400 or in the year 400, BC. So we've seen all this ramp up literally since fairly the early 1700s. I don't care what you're thinking about in terms of how you go through your day. It most likely involves something that did not exist prior to the Industrial Revolution.
Correct.
So
air conditioning.
Well, of course, absolutely. And, there were mistakes along the way. Nothing really explains the swamp cooler, but I digress. In any event, we are going to really redefine life on the planet, not in your lifetime and not in mine, but that's where we're going. It's, as I say, the biggest change since the wheel.
Interesting. Mary, I'll talk to you later on.
Good deal.
Have a nice night.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Enough about something that matters. Let's get back to the world's worst hit radio records. We'll get to Fran and Austin and Johnny and Austin. All right, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Just a matter of time. I remembered I told my sorrow. I forgot you were mine. Take back all of the love you borrow. But everybody's the same. My poor heart sings the same old story. Pain and memory, yeah. I keep seeing you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, latter baby Washington, who turned 83 yesterday, born in South Carolina, but grew up in Harlem, and of course, you know her from the J-Nets, and you know her from all her wonderful stuff over the years under her own name, and the Hearts, and one of her biggest fans actually was Dusty Springfield, and appropriately so, but 83 yesterday, and she's still with us, which is just terrific. That Just Can't Get You Off My Mind is from 1973, I think, and it was a weird little label, Master 5. All right, so 888-876-5593, going to find out about some more of the world's worst hit records. Fran and Austin, go for it.
Okay, I'm going to put that one that you just played, that Once You Understand.
Ah!
I didn't even think I remembered that when she first mentioned it. I thought, what song is that?
And then you heard it.
And then when you played that one with the weird synthesizer, yeah. I thought, what? That's kind of funny, but it's like...
Yeah, but that, then when you heard the original there on Laurie.
Like, oh, God, yes, I remember this.
Yeah, just terrible. Yes, all right. Consider it voted upon.
And never been to me.
Oh, yes, yes, Charlene, the lovely and talented.
I don't know if she's gotten any votes this time yet or not,
yes,
but I wanted to make sure
not
she's
many.
On there.
Not many, but it's nice to see you'll be seconding them.
Yes. And, oh, what is it? The, I can't remember what the name of that song is. The world is black, the world is white.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, that's yeah, and we know all those songs, too. Oh, that's terrible. And I'm not going to sing, but yes, I know. Yeah. Oh, God, why won't we know this? Right. I think it was Three Dog Night.
It's not
Black...
the playground of my mind.
No, no, I think it's actually Three Dog Night. But
it is Three Dog Night.
Yeah, so then I think the song is just Black and White.
That's right. It is. It is. I remember now. You're right. It is just Black and White.
Yeah.
And on that same vein, Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, it's been many years since I've heard anybody refer to anybody as a male chauvinist pig.
That's kind of fun. Hang on a minute. Don't go away.
Okay.
We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large and be right back to it. You will not hear Black and White or Ebony and Ivory, but I'll find something coming up on WGN Radio.
You're a real gone cookie, and I love you, Booby. I'll be dancing up the storm till your feet get warm. Booby, I'll be is a hobby with you.
When I take you by the hand, something wonderful takes command. Booby, I do understand.
Booby, I'll be, that was great.
So come on, you big dong, darling.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's the Platters, my all-time favorite Platters record, actually. Booby Abby, Federal, 1954, and I played it because Cornell Gunter, you know him from the Coasters and the Flares, but did you also know he was in the early Platters when they were on Federal? Well, he would have been 87 today. Sadly, shot in his car in Las Vegas in 1990, just 53 years old, and we still don't know exactly what happened there. Born in Coffeyville, Kansas. Yeah, so... that's rest in peace, Cornell, but great music, and of course, nothing beats Booby Abby. So, back to Fran and Austin. Apologies for the interruption.
Oh, well. The world goes on. It's weird. Everybody talks, unfortunately, the only songs that a lot of people hear by the Platters are those horrible...
yes, the Mercury. And, you know, I realized that was the big money. And I realized that, of course, Mercury got luckier than they ever thought because they fought against taking the Platters. And Buck Ram insisted in order for Mercury to get the Penguins, who never had another hit, of course. But
Of course.
Yeah, but they did well with the Platters. I never liked any of that mulch. It was big, big selling stuff. But I'll tell you, they redeemed themselves in the mid-60s on MusiCorps. I thought I Love You a Thousand Times was a wonderful song.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Oh, man.
I probably will know it if I hear it.
These were giant beach music songs. You absolutely should know. And With This Ring and Washed Ashore. I mean,
I love With This Ring.
Then I Love You 1,000 Times even beats that. So let me find it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's just like the Platters at their best moment ever, other than the Federal stuff. But here
they
are. I
may have heard it and not realized it was the Platters.
That's
what happens with them a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like that song, you played it a lot of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first time I heard that was the Platters. I'm like, that's the Platters?
Yeah.
That's the same group that did Only You.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, this was I Love You a Thousand Times. Tell me you don't remember that.
No, I've heard that on the surf. That's a great song.
Yeah, yeah, that's the Platters in their MusiCorps period, which they redeemed themselves. But yeah, all that mercury mulch, that was Buck Ram. But, you know, they were laughing all the way to the bank with Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Twilight Time and everything else.
Yeah, I want to put Only You on there.
Only You? Yes, okay, very good.
Especially because Only You can to make.
Yeah.
Can to make.
Yeah. Well,
only you can to make this world seem bright.
Yeah.
What? What is this Canda stuff?
You're right. Yeah. Oh man. Yes. Only you can make all this world seem right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canda.
Canda make. Yeah. Right. Oh well. Why not? Why not?
All right. And first game of the season, or last game of the season.
Yeah, right, exactly. Good choice.
I don't know if it was a hit, but there's a song that you played, and it's another one about blind people. Is the guy is walking with his girlfriend.
Oh, no, the Galahads, Be Fair.
Yeah, oh my God, that is awful. I would vote for it, but I don't think it was a hit.
No,
at least
it wasn't.
I hope it wasn't.
It wasn't. But yeah, for people who don't remember Be Fair, and, you know, this is what happens when you're an R&B group in Seattle. You know, I mean, right there, you know there are problems. So, so and indeed with the Galahads, there were.
A blind boy and his girl were crossing the street one day, and I shuddered as I passed them when I heard him say,
"Be fair, darling, be kind, be fair."
Yeah, painful, I tell you. But, you know, it's so bad it makes me laugh. I can't.
Yeah, it does. So there are a lot of songs like that, yes, that are so bad you just have to laugh at them.
Yeah, but, you know, they started in Seattle in 1952. So they were around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they disbanded in 62 for a good reason. But, yeah, well, you heard it. But in any event, yeah, they started out in junior high there. And it was interesting because they would appear at the CYO dances all the time and all that kind of stuff. And when they were signed originally to a label, it was on the strength of, well, we have Ron Holden, another guy from Seattle. But it, it didn't help. And so so it was that I think some of the members actually reunited into various things. But thank God we never really heard anything much after they performed at the Seattle World's Fair.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, they might have been, I mean, they might not have been too bad, but that's, you know, with other songs, but that's a horrible.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. I'm Without a Girlfriend was probably, and This Letter to You were the big quote-unquote hits, you know, if you're in Seattle. If you're anywhere else, if you're listening to something other than KOL, maybe not. But if you were listening to KOL, you'd know I'm Without a Girlfriend. And if you think that I'm overstating it, it is that bad.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's a good thing they never did anything. I mean, they never made it.
Right, right. And this letter to you. Yeah. Oh, man, I'll have to play some of those.
So, anyway, I wanted to mention, you were talking about, you know, what do they do with the homeless when
right, when they say we're disbanding them, you never really hear exactly where they went.
What they do is they take them to, like, when they have South by Southwest here and different things here, they round them up and take them, like, you know, out to some remote, like, kind of far area that's kind of hard for them to get back downtown.
What? It sounds like feral
animals. So they just move them to another part of town where they're not going to have all the, you know, the people coming for South by or whatever they're coming
It for. Sounds like bears. You know, relocate them.
Yeah, that's what they do. They relocate them.
They relocate them. Oh, man.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Whether they want to go or not, they relocate them.
Right. Yeah, eventually they make their way back here.
Just like the bears.
You know, they just want to get them out of here for when, you know, when they have the events.
Yeah, like the Apex Summit or whatever. So
whatever, yeah. So they you know, bus them or however they get them somewhere else. They round them up, go to the, you know, homeless camps and stuff and, you know, round them up and... take them somewhere else.
That's just alarming. Yeah, I want, and of course, you know, they take them somewhere else, but that somewhere else probably isn't that happy that they're arriving.
No. Oh, no. They just, you know, they want to move them out of the way so they don't get, you know, miss getting all that tourist money, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is hilarious. Now, I want to see where they wind up. I know there have been many who are complaining, you know, it's the third time they kicked us out. This time they won't even let us put tents up, and they threw all our stuff in a big truck and took it all, and we don't know where it went. But oh,
yeah,
man.
they used to be a little nicer about it, I guess, but yeah, now they throw their stuff out and, you know, all this stuff. So,
well,
yeah, I have a...
It's tough.
I had a friend who was homeless for quite a while, and so that's how I know
wow.
this stuff.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, it's really tough, especially in the Bay Area, because areas that used to be for lower income have been gentrified to the point that now you can't afford to be there. So when you run out of places
yeah.
to be, where do you go? Well,
that's happening here. That's happening here in Austin.
Oh, I know. I know. And you deserve it.
Yeah, well...
Yes.
Well, some of us don't.
No, exactly not. But, you know, a taste of its own medicine. The city council
yeah,
deserves
no,
it.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. There's nothing to, nothing better to cure you of certain, oh, how do I put this nicely?
Predilections. We'll go with that. Predilections.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And,
then, you know, move to Austin and...
Right, right, exactly.
Might make you think a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Oh, that's great. All right, well, now I'm going to research to see, like, did they drop them off in Pittsburgh? That's an area in Seattle, north of San Francisco, not the one in Pennsylvania. But
yeah, no, I didn't think you were talking about Pennsylvania.
Right, exactly. But yeah, in fact, just today, just where's Pittsburgh in California? No, just northeast of San Francisco.
Yep, but, I know where it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, start of the California Delta. All right, so
yeah.
I want to see where they took them. I'll let you know. I'll report back.
Okay, sounds
right.
good.
Thanks.
All right,
so, yeah. I really always have wondered, but we're clearing out the homeless. And, you know, in the same breath, they're saying, we're not having any more shelters, we're not having any more bed capacity. All right, where are you taking them? You know, there are planes leaving every day now to Venezuela. It really makes me wonder. So 888-876-5593. I don't think any of them are on those. 888-888-RALI. All right, Laura's going to vote. All right, Laura, what do you want to vote for?
Okay. Let me get my list here going, Raleigh.
We'll get a whole list. Can't wait.
I just had it a second ago.
Okay.
First one is my favorite to not like, Muskrat Love.
Okay. Captain and Toenail next.
Second one, I don't get the point of this song. You light up my life.
Oh, God, I know.
Oh, if I heard that one more time, if I've heard it a million, I couldn't stand it when they kept playing it and playing it.
Worse than that, just about the time we finally got over Debbie Boone, Leanne Rimes had to redo it.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Okay, very good choice. Yes. What else?
Yes. Disco Duck.
Uh-huh, yeah. Rick Dees. Okay.
Yes. And then that's all I had, but can I chat about something for a minute?
What you want to chat about?
Well, I just wanted to throw out, if you know anything about, I've been listening to Dina Martin live. I didn't know she sang.
Of course.
And I didn't know she even existed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Do you have any opinion on her?
She's a very nice person. And she sings very well. Yeah, I'm very well aware of her. And it's not the kind of music you're going to hear on the radio near you anytime soon, but she draws quite a crowd.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. When I found her podcast, I'm like, who the heck? First of all, I didn't even realize Dean had a daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And then she was on the radio. She does her show on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, she... found out she said she wound up dating Davy Jones from the Monkees for a while. Yeah. So I thought, okay, that's a little weird combination.
Well, somebody had to. This was not from Jeannie. This was Dean's first wife, Elizabeth.
Oh.
And she was born in New York, but they moved to Beverly Hills, and that's where she grew up. And she actually went to live with her father and Jeannie when he married Jeannie. And so she was around. I'm trying to think about how old she'd be right now, and I don't know. I shouldn't even say if I do, but nonetheless, she's made quite the career for herself. She started out with Lee Hazelwood, just like Nancy Sinatra, you know, on Reprise, Girl of the Month Club and things like that, and you know, all that. But she tried to do some pop stuff that really didn't make it, and she did holiday albums and stuff like that, and but she got into some of the pop standards and the jazzier stuff, and has done very, very well. She's a pilot. I know that. Yep. Twin engine certified, and she's been, you know, there's not a lot of dirt about her, so you won't get that, but I think her last album actually was 2016, and that's the last time I heard from her, because I wrote something about it on a site I used to have. Swing Street was the last album, and it was a good little album. I like her. No complaints there.
It's too bad she's only once a week, but I was actually rather impressed with her style and singing.
Yeah.
So thank you for all the information on that. I didn't know you'd know anything about her.
Yeah, and you can go to DinaMartin.com, DeanaMartin.com.
Oh, okay.
Because she has her own website. And I'm sure I haven't been there in years, but I'm sure it's still active. And I've got Swing Street, the CD. There's like 15 cuts on it, and there's some nice stuff.
Wow, thank you, Dean.
All right.
Thank you, Raleigh.
My pleasure.
It.
All right, thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, let's see what happened. Oh, look at this. It's been a while, and Jimmy P. is awake, and apparently he is not disturbing anyone in the house, and he's calling. So, Jimmy P., welcome back to WGN Radio.
How you doing, Raleigh? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of songs that I don't like. I'll give them to you first, and then after that, I got a six-pack of requests.
Okay, let's hear them.
All right, number one, I'll give you the songs I don't like. Beep, beep.
Okay, Playmates, okay.
I got some heavy hitters here.
Yeah.
Sir Duke.
Okay, Stevie Wonder. Yeah. Okay.
Jolene.
Oh, Dolly Parton, yeah. Okay.
Herman's Hermits by... Herman's Hermits by... the group. It's Henry VIII by Herman's Hermits.
Okay. Second verse, same as the first. A little bit louder and a little bit worse.
Brackett Award and Brackett the... Edmund Fitzgerald.
Okay, yes.
And Mule Skinner Blues.
Okay.
And I got one more. There's a song that I'm thinking about. Running Bear.
Oh, yes. Billy Preston. Yes, Bobby Preston.
Those are my requests.
Okay.
Anything by that girl that requested Black and White.
Oh, okay. Three Dog Night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All so right. That's for now.
All
now
right.
I got some requests.
Okay, what do you want here?
All right, The Girl Next Door by the Channels.
Ah. Okay.
Cross My Heart by the Earls.
Uh-huh.
Fallen Tear by the Eldorados.
Okay.
How about Changes by Buddy Miles?
Yes.
And one for Scotty. I know that Lady Picnic wanted Speedo. Yeah. I got one for Scotty.
Okay.
Girl I Love by the Cadillacs.
Ah, he loved that, yes.
And how about one more of what I got at you and I, like Gene Pitney, Every Breath I Take.
All right. All good choices. You will hear them all probably tomorrow night, but maybe one of them coming up next.
Okay.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay.
All right. And Johnny from Austin coming up next right here on WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. Earl Lewis and the Channels. Yes, The Girl Next Door. Toward the end of their short but wonderful reign. And that, of course, was on Fire, Bobby Robinson's label. Nice, nice, nice. And interestingly, that anytime you say Channels, you usually think about Earl Lewis. He was not the original lead singer. It was a guy named Rico. And Rico left shortly after they were formed in 1955, and that's when Earl Lewis came in. And he was with the Lotharios before that, and he became the main songwriter and all that. They disbanded right around the time that they recorded that The Girl Next Door. They shouldn't have. But they were on Gone and Fury and Port. Yeah, there's a cute little label. And Groove, which was an RCA subsidiary, and Enjoy and all that. And a lot of lineups, but Earl Lewis was forever a channel once he got in there, as far as that goes. So, all right. Frank Zappa, by the way, recorded The Closer You Are in 1984, right? And good for him about that. So, Johnny is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's happening, Johnny?
Oh, good morning. Well, I'm on the Raleigh schedule of staying up all night, but I had to get up early this morning, or yesterday morning, so I'm a little bit sleepy, but I'm hanging in there.
Well, good, good. Are you feeling all right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I got a couple of songs for you, but of bad songs, but have you ever heard of a songwriter by the name of Jerry Foster?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's Nashville royalty, him and Bill Rice. Yeah, he was originally from Missouri, I think.
He was, and I heard it. I'd never heard of him before, but I heard an interview of him on a Houston radio station yesterday, and that guy is really good. He's going to be 88 here on the 19th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever meet him?
Yeah. And he wrote a ton of stuff in Nashville. Like I say, the hits started coming when he got together with Bill Rice. And that was the deal. And he was a Cape Girardeau guy, just like Billy Swan was. So he wasn't a friend. I didn't know him, you know, that kind of thing. But yes, certainly our paths crossed a few times. So
his co-writer, Bill Rice, passed away on October 28th. Yeah. But anyway, this Jerry Foster, he told some really good stories.
Oh, I'll bet he did. Tell me a couple.
Well, I mean, he was just talking about going back to, well, I didn't know who he was, and so I'm listening to this talk show, and all of a sudden the host starts talking to this guy, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be boring. Uh-huh. And then I started listening a little bit, and it's like he was talking about Don Robey. And
yes, because he was on Backbeat when he started out.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this might not be so bad after all. And he was talking about Don Robey and Evelyn Johnson, Don Robey's right-hand person.
Sure.
And then mentioned a Joe Hinton song called "The Ladder of Prayer." I don't think Jerry Foster wrote it. I don't know, but he told Don Robey that's a good song. You need to do something with that. And apparently Don Robey had a lot of respect for this guy, and Jerry Foster wasn't with him very long, but he had a pretty good relationship with Kris Kristofferson. I've never been a Kris Kristofferson fan, but Jerry Foster and Bill Rice wrote a couple of Charlie Pride songs called "The Day the World Stood Still." Yep. That was a big one.
Yeah,
"Easy Part's Over."
Mm-hmm.
A couple for Jerry Lee Lewis, including "39" and "Holden."
Right.
Mickey Gilley songs.
Right, there
too.
There were a lot of things. When he came to Nashville, he was a disc jockey for a while. Bill Rice was as well. But he had this little TV show in Savannah. And then he was on the Peach State Jamboree. And this is the 50s in Swainsboro. And that's how he got the Backbeat contract. And then he moved back to Missouri, and he was on a TV show in Cape Girardeau. So that's how he met Bill Rice. And he told Rice outright, you know, your lyrics are really weak. And Rice said, well, you know, your melodies are too. So a songwriting team was born. And then it was Jack Clement and Bill Hall, who, of course, Jack Clement, a real Nashville mainstay and all that. But they originally had a publishing company in Beaumont. And so they said, you got to move to Nashville. And so they did, I think, in 67. And they were disc jockeys on stations no one cared about and stuff like that. And then Foster was on Monument for a while and on Cinnamon. And Cinnamon was the label that, the guy from Mississippi who did Long Tall Tex, and Murray Kellum was on Cinnamon. Yeah. So, and the interesting thing is they were ASCAP writers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'd like to have guests on, but he was quite good, and for a guy who's almost 88 years old, he sounded about 40. I mean, he really sounded young.
No, you know, I have a list, and I mean to have guests, because I also eventually want to do more, because there's so much coming about UFOs and stuff like that, that I got all sorts of people I'd like to have on, and then, of course, I just do nothing. So I will have to mend my wanton ways.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he was quite interesting to listen to, and he sounded like a really good guy.
Yeah.
Back to bad songs. That one that you've been talking about, "Once You Understand" by
Hank. Yeah, exactly.
That dog was released twice.
Yes, 74, I think, was the second time.
It was. Yeah. And I was at KYOK when it came out in 70. Well, it was late 71.
You didn't play it.
They put that stupid song in our control room. Yeah,
no. No.
I didn't play it.
And see, I can't even understand that, because I would normally say, well, maybe there's an in there, but I don't think Laurie had a real in with the R&B station, so I can't imagine.
No, it was dreadful. But I heard somebody else make the mistake of playing it before I did, and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to go there. But speaking of some bad songs, I told you that I'd go to this playlist of the station I'm on.
Oh God!
Now I don't control the music. I just tell everybody how great it is. But we won't get deep into that.
Well, hopefully you won't go to hell for lying.
I'll tell you a real bad song. It wasn't even a song, really. It was in 1967. It went to number 10, and it was called An Open Letter to My Teenage Son by Victor Lundberg.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, that was
terrible. That's a bad one.
Yeah, exactly. And I wrote Running Bear, before I said Bobby Preston, it was Johnny Preston did Running Bear. Okay, so yes, I remember An Open Letter to My... all those things. There was another one that Tom Edwards, not Tommy Edwards, but Tom Edwards, the guy who had a record store in Cleveland, did about my teenage son or whatever. It was another one of these just horrible records. So, yeah. So, Victor Lundberg. Terrible.
Speaking of, you played or talked about With This Ring by the Platters. Did you ever hear the country version of that by T. Graham Brown in 91?
No. I'm going to write this down. Is it good?
Yeah, I think it was really good. It was country, and it was in 1991 by T. Graham Brown. Yeah. It only charted about not like number 30.
No, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's not bad. I thought, well, this is kind of cool. But anyway, back to bad songs. How about The Piano Man by Billy Joel? Can you toss that in there?
Sure, you got it.
Chevy Van by Sammy Johns.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Here's another delight. Undercover Angel by Alan O'Day.
Oh, God. Yes.
And getting on the sentimental, syrupy side, how about Sometimes When We Touch by Dan Hill?
No, just no. Okay.
Yes. And while we're down here, how about Melissa Manchester's Don't Cry Out Loud in Midnight Blue?
Oh, no. No, no, no. All right. Oh, God. Yes, remember them well.
You don't have to play them.
No, I'm not going to, probably. Well, you never know. If they start getting a lot of votes here, that you'll be hearing some of them.
Oh, here's a real delight. Vanilla Fudge, You Keep Me Hanging On.
Yeah. Okay.
And that in a Gotta Da Vida. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, there was an album version of it, too, that went on for, like, what was it, 17 or 20 minutes or
something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one of your favorites, I betcha. The Rapper by the Jaggers.
The Jaggers with a Z. Yes. Yes.
And Signs by the Five Man
Electrical Band. Everywhere a Sign. Yeah.
I got more on here that I can call back next time. Here's one that'll make you very depressed. Carly Simon. That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. All right. These are all fine early 70s choices.
And, Elton John, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word.
Yeah, I can think of a few other words. Okay. Very good.
I think this is the remake of something that was equally horrible. Mariah Carey's Without You. I Can't Live If Living Is Without You. Is that the same one that Nilsson did?
Nilsson, yeah. All right.
Ugh.
I don't know. I haven't heard Mariah Carey's version.
Would you like to?
No. I'm sure that I could find it. No.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I can turn you on to that station I'm on. Speaking of that, how about Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin?
Oh, okay. Yes, and A Silver Spoon. Okay.
We can get into Neil Diamond sometimes, but I got a pretty good list of him. I guess you could start out with, how about Love on the Rocks?
Okay. Very good.
Hello Again?
Yes. Goodbye.
And I'll give you one more, although there's more. Stones.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's enough for one night. I've got more, but I just take this highlighter to them, so the next time I call in, I won't repeat anything. Got to keep these votes clean.
Yeah, they actually are playing these songs?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just looking at the playlist a few minutes ago, and it was America by Neil Diamond came up next to some Bon Jovi song or something.
I found the Mariah Carey Without You. I've got to hear this. I've never...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got to hear this, because I can't imagine it.
Well, maybe...
I hate it already, but...
Ugh.
No, I can't
God help me.
All right, yeah, I can't forget that either. All right, it's a hit. Consider it on the list.
Yeah, and I'll drop the bad songs for now. But, you know, back in the late 60s, and I heard you mention this the other day, these people were wanting to take these radio stations, especially the FMs, to a format that was called underground.
Uh-huh.
And being a program director at KRBE in Houston, these people would come in there and try to get in to see the manager, who probably, whoever the manager was that week, would go in and listen to these clowns. Oh, you can make some money with this. And they come in. Well, what do you think about going underground? And, oh, God, no. I said, do you think this stuff is going to stand the test of time when you're talking about groups like Moby Grape and this kind of crap?
And underground actually really started in 66. And, of course, this is right around the time the field effect transistors were in use and the drifting stopped. But the biggest problem with underground, as you know, other than listening to it, was that you couldn't sell it to anybody. So right there, even if you got kids who were 17, 18 years old to listen to you, you literally couldn't get anybody to, you know, later when it became progressive, at least you got the Waterbed Emporium, but you know, initially, initially you got absolutely nothing. And, you know, so it was pretty disastrous all the way around. The only good thing is at least what grew out of that was people realizing that FM had a future. And of course, you know, I'll continually say that it was because of the technological advances that really gave it that future. But yes, underground. Like I say, I was working and they said we're going underground and I literally thought they were moving.
Yeah, and then some of the old
John says I have to shut up right now. So hang on, don't go away. Okay. I might have just talked myself out of a show, but stay where you are. All right, and we'll see if I did on WGN Radio. And I'm Raleigh James, and we'll forego the bumper as we only have about 2 minutes left. I want to spend them with Johnny Goen and Austin. And so, 2 minutes left, so you got to call me tomorrow night. We'll talk more.
Oh, well, I don't want to call too much.
Yeah, believe me, it's always good to hear from you.
Well, it's always good to talk to you and your listeners, too. You got a great audience out there, and you gather new people all the time, and it's always nice to hear your regular callers and your new ones as well.
We have three big hours tomorrow night, so be part of it, and we'll talk to you then.
Sounds like a winner.
Okay,
have a
thanks.
Good day.
Appreciate it. You too. All right, so I've got 30 seconds, and I don't know if she can do it because sometimes she's a little long-winded, but let's see if Sherry can, in 30 seconds, give me her vote. So go. What are they?
Hey, Raleigh. Yes, I don't know exactly the name of the song, but the lyrics are that teeny weeny itty bitty.
Okay, Brian Hyland. Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. A very good choice, and we'll talk to you maybe tomorrow night.
Oh, great.
Okay,
thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, so teeny weeny is moving up the charts. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. I thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. I thank James for 8,000 stories, and I'm sorry we didn't get to him tonight, but I bet we will tomorrow night. We will convene again 21 hours from now for three big hours. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's a wrap. It's WGN Radio.